Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Serious question. As a woman, can you have equal rights if you're afraid to leave your home to go to your job? As a woman. Can you have that? I mean, if the country you live in, the city you live in, the neighborhood you live in is not secure, do you have equality? Now, keep that question in mind as I tell you about this. Sweden has opened its doors to floodgates of unknown immigrants. Don't know who they are. Didn't even vet them, let them in. Some of them ended up being ISIS. Others just harass women alone on platforms because they believe that it is not acceptable for women to be out without the protection of a man, much less, you know, without being covered from head to toe. Statistics released by the Sweden Criminal Statistics Agency, BRA, appropriately named, reveal that 42% of women aged 20 to 24 feel insecure in their everyday lives, fearful they could become victims of various crimes. All right, well, that's not too different from if you live in a city with, you know, kind of a, some sketchy places. Except this. The new statistics come as part of the agency's National Security Survey of 2018, which found that the women surveyed claim to have changed their route or mode of transport due to fear of crime. What kind of crime? Maria somebody, an investigator at BRA, I can't pronounce her last name, commented on the results saying, the fact that many people's lives are limited by the fact that they have to change their travel routes and methods is a serious consequence of insecurity and anxiety about crimes that young women are experiencing. Like, what kind of areas are they avoiding? What kind of crimes? The report comes after another report released by BRA last July showing nearly half of women living in vulnerable areas. That's what the report calls them. Vulnerable areas, often referred to as, oh, here it is, no-go zones. Zones dominated by recent immigrants who take a different cultural view to the idea of a woman not covered from head to toe, everything but her face, and a woman not with a man. You should be escorted by your man or not go out. Right? We all agree with that. The report comes after another report released by BRA last July, which showed nearly half of the women living in vulnerable areas, often referred to as no-go zones, felt insecure in their own neighborhoods after dark. You think? The survey also found, across the board, more Swedes are becoming wary of what they post on social media due to the possibility of being harassed or threatened because of what they post. Oh, well, that's no different from here. Sweden has seen a surge in investigations and prosecutions over the last several years on those posting hate online following the work of anti-hate. I don't know what that means. Anti-hate organization Network Examiner. So I mean, what they're saying is, you know, even if you're the victim of a crime, you cannot post about that because it makes the criminals look bad. Yep. So there you go. Women in Sweden afraid who live in or near no-go zones, afraid to leave their homes to go to work, afraid to leave their homes after dark, afraid to leave their homes to go out. And you wonder why women during the, I don't know, Middle Ages, Victorian period even. I mean, you wonder why women didn't have equal rights. Well, think what it was like back then. Think about highwaymen. They didn't have the law enforcement we do now. They didn't have the ability to stop crime that we do now. So, I mean, as a woman, you really didn't want to go out much without an escort unless you were in a really good area. If you can't do the things a man can do, how can you be equal to a man? How can you compete for jobs? How can you do so? You can't. You cannot. And we see this in Muslim countries where, culturally speaking, and, you know, they do whatever they want in their culture. I'm fine with that. Culturally speaking, it is not accepted that a woman should be able to go out alone, drive a car, do things alone, lead her own life. It's just not the culture. And that a woman who does that is clearly looking for certain kinds of attention, which she will very quickly find. I'm sure the feminist will dive in here and save us all, right? Texter writes, Tara, notice how Gillette left Muslims out of their toxic masculinity ad. Texter writes, Tara, those Swedish women need to get CWPs. Oh, wait, Sweden with massive gun control. Never mind. Yeah, they're sitting ducks. Texter writes, I am a non-Hispanic, good-looking, masculine, heterosexual. Well, good for you, sir. Thanks for letting me know that. Are you sure, though? I'm just saying. I mean, that's a pretty definite position you're taking. I don't know. Texter writes, hey, Tara, the candidate for Attorney General Bill Barr defended the snipers at Ruby Ridge who killed the Weaver baby and the wife, then mothered a bill through the House and Senate to protect government snipers of wrongful death in federal court. I don't know what that means. It says Weaver. I don't know who Weaver is. Texter writes, didn't take Nasal Palooza long to start spending our tax dollars on her joyride. Texter writes, if Pickens County schools are going to be modeled after Finland, that means free lunch for all. How much will that cost? Dacusville and Pickens residents signed the petition. Now the texter writes, hey, Tara, good morning. I am a plumber. I use Pythagorean theorem. And see, I knew there'd be one. I use Pythagorean theorem instead of a square or level. It becomes automatic, so I don't have to think about it. Well, good. I'm glad you know it, because if I need my, you know, need my system fixed, I'm glad you're out there. Texter writes, hey, Tara, name a big, ugly bird. Oh, I love this. Name a big, ugly bird that can't fly. The gray feather Pelosi pelican. LOL, 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 Jeff. All right, Les in Columbia. Good morning.
Good morning. Tara, I think before we make a decision on the iPads or pads in the prisons, we need to get all of the facts. We have some serious, serious problems in those prisons. Nobody's put forth any plan that will take care of those problems or improve them. This is the first step in a dialogue. Given the technology we have, they could be monitoring everything those prisoners do. Those pads won't have phone connections. There'll be Wi-Fi connections, which the prison will control. The government will not let them block the cell signals. So they've got to have some way of maybe the first step of negotiating with the government that, hey, we'll do this. Will you let us do that? We don't know enough. I'm not going to make a snap decision without more information.
Well, they tried this very program in Colorado. It lasted 2 years before they took the tablets, all 18,000 of them, back because it was a disaster. They were using the tablets to commit crimes, were unable to figure out how to keep the inmates from doing it, and they finally had to take them back for security reasons. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get it. We'll do better here. I'm not sure. Maybe we will. You know,
that's
it just seems...
piece of information,
huh?
Which you had not said earlier, so I'm looking for you for facts, okay?
Okay.
And that's a good fact.
There's facts, but then there's just the basic premise that, you know, prison is supposed to be a place where it's a punishment to go, not a vacation. You know what I mean? I mean, for most people, if you ask them, would you rather spend your whole day playing on a tablet or go to work? They'd say go to work. I'd rather pay on the tablet, but I mean, I got to feed myself. Well, food is free in prison. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how attractive I want to make prison to people.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but if they control the tablets and how much they get a time on them per day, what they're allowed to view per day, as I said, I don't know enough of the details. If you show me some things that say we'd like to try this and they make sense, then, yeah, let's try them. If they don't make sense or if they've never worked before or haven't worked in other institutions, then, hey, maybe we don't need to go there.
Yep. Well, that Colorado was the first to try the program, so that didn't work out. But we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it better here somehow. All right. Ralph writes to me, emails me, actually, at tara@1063word.com. You can use that email, too. Tara, I wonder how many people are in prison for stealing tablets. Sir, you shouldn't have stolen those tablets. While you're checking in, here's your free tablet and your Wi-Fi password. Use it well, my friend. What a mess. By the way, getting a lot of texts asking about that ad with Kevin Bryan in it. Not to believe the stuff you hear about Amy Ryberg Doyle. She's running for Senate District 6 in the Republican primary. And people are asking, what stuff? Her tweets. Calling for gun control. You're like, wait, what? There's a woman running in the GOP primary who wants gun control. Well, here's what she said about that. She very much wants to make sure that you can't own an AR. So if you got an AR, that'll have to go. Here's just a sample of her tweets. These go back in February 2013. She had since February 2013. And again, the Senate District 6 primary is actually on Tuesday. Here's a sample of what she's been tweeting. And she deleted all these, but they were screenshotted and saved. And I'm not sure why Kevin Bryan is supporting her, because he really is a staunch defender of gun rights. I'm a little confused. So I thought that I would read the tweets to you and let you decide for yourself. Kevin Bryan is in that ad saying, don't believe anything you hear, but I do believe my eyes. And this is what the tweets say. Maybe you find them offensive. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want what she calls common sense gun control. Okay, here's a Ryberg Doyle tweet, Amy Ryberg Doyle tweet from February 2013. Talking about the burden of gun violence, not only loss of lives, we taxpayers pay real money. Shooters cost U.S. $174 billion, she tweets. I favor stricter background checks. And she's highlighting something called letter at what point does Second Amendment rights stop. Here's another tweet. Nice work. And then she's highlighting an article by WYFF. Or a news report. Nice work. Upstate children send Valentines to Congress about gun control. A little weird seeing somebody push gun control in a Republican primary. We hosted the debate, and she sounded very much like a pro-gunner, but this was her in 2013. This is Amy Ryberg Doyle in June of 2016. If your sport requires an AR because you can't shoot a deer with a rifle, may I suggest a new sport? Perhaps running. So pretty clear, and I don't want to paraphrase her or say what she's thinking, pretty clear she does not think you should have an AR. She tweeted this February 16. I can't tell what year this is, because again, these are screenshotted. She deleted them all. Here's a tweet from her. Thoughtful GOP female here in SC. My at U.S. Army Green Beret brother had a Sim AR in Afghanistan for 8 years. That weapon on American streets is dangerous. And she was tweeting about what happened in Parkland. She tweets, it's time for some policy discussion on gun safety, and it needs to come from GOP leadership. And she tagged Lindsey Graham in that one. So they're running. This is why they're running ads on this station, telling you not to believe what you hear. What they mean is don't believe what we tell you about our tweets. I just read them to you as they are, so you can make of them what you want. But that's a pretty strong case right there for gun control, it looks like to me. But hey, you make of it what you will. But I definitely think you should believe what you hear. I just read them to you verbatim. Oh, at one point, she was tweeting out she does not like Trump at all. She retweeted Michael Gearson, who's an anti-Trumper. Given the base's enthusiasm for Trump, many elected Republicans now feel they must choose between hypocrisy and political suicide. This was before the election. There's a third choice, leave politics entirely. I suspect Paul Ryan is not the last Republican who will exercise this option. So talking, you know, just retweeting stuff about leaving the party because of Trump. She advocated at one point taxing soda and Cheetos. This woman would fit right in New York or California. And again, she said the election is on Tuesday. And she is running in the primary, the Republican primary for Senate District 6. Now, I should tell you, I have interviewed her opponent, Dwight Loftus. And he voted for the gas tax. The first time. He did not vote for it the second time. He said there were things he didn't like about the final bill. So he did vote against it. But he voted for it the first time. So definitely not a guy opposed to taxing you either. I got to tell you, not a lot of good choices in this election. However, Dwight Loftus has not advocated for taxing your soda and Cheetos. But hey. She's also pro-gay marriage, it appears. This was from May 10, 2012, Amy Ryberg Doyle. Gay Republicans, you may want to stay in the closet till November. There's a storm brewing. And at Mitt Romney, kindly stay out of bedrooms. She said, she's posted a Huffington Post piece. She said, I usually cannot abide Huff Blow, but this, I hear, dear America, you have a gay problem. So some what appear to be pro-gay marriage tweets. A lot of pro-gun control stuff in here. Here's Amy Ryberg Doyle, gun owners I know favor ending the gun show loophole and improve background checks and proper training for CWP. Let's be rational. Amy Ryberg Doyle, if you like the Second Amendment on Facebook, smile for the camera, for the pledge, and add police at every little league practice. Will this go away? So that sounds kind of anti-Second Amendment, but I don't know. I'm just reading them to you. There's some more stuff. She retweeted a New York Times article about tax it, subsidized vegetables, tax bad food like Cheetos, again, Cheetos and soda. And she writes, controversial, but hey, tax soda and Cheetos. So there's some ideas here that don't sound a lot like what she sounded like in the GOP primary debate this Monday. But, you know, people change. I don't know. You'll have to decide for yourself. But the whole thing in the ads about don't believe what you hear, these are her tweets. And they were obviously counting on Bobby Mack and Vince and I to tell you what she thinks. So I think pretty clear that if you own an AR, you're going to clash with this woman. Unless she's changed her mind. I don't know. She supported the gas tax hike, too. Here's a tweet from her. Gas tax is a user fee, more fair. And then she says, RT, some upstate legislators see gas tax hike key to funding road improvement. So she tweeted in favor of the gas tax hike, too. So she wants higher taxes on your Cheetos, your soda, and your gasoline, and no AR for you. Oh, and she doesn't like Trump. Wow, okay, just reading these tweets from Amy Ryberg Doyle, who is now, at least in the ads on this station that we're running, casting herself as the most conservative candidate in the race. That's not what she said she was when she tweeted. This is a now deleted tweet. She retweeted a column by Thomas Friedman, a hardcore leftist in the New York Times, and quoted him, this quote, the center-right has got to have it out with the far-right. She put a hashtag GOP truth. The center-right has to have it out with the far-right. This is from the woman now casting herself as the conservative in the primary. Now, this was 2012. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I believe people can change their views over time. But she definitely does. She doesn't want you to have an AR. Doesn't like likes gun control. You should join the military if you want to use heavy duty weapons. And she wants to tax your soda and Cheetos. There's a good reason she deleted all this. I would have, too, if I were her. Oh, and was for the gas tax. So, I don't know if she still believes all that. She certainly didn't sound like she did at the debate Monday night. But there you go. You know what? I got to tell you, the way it works here, and it's really scary, whoever buys the most ads on this station usually wins, even if what they're saying is completely untrue. So, she's probably going to be your next senator. By the way, she's running to replace William Timmons in Senate District 6, and the election is on Tuesday. So, people texting me and asking me who the real conservative is in that race, I don't think there is one, as best I could tell. I think the most conservative candidate, based on the answers in the debate that we had earlier this week on Monday, probably would be Dwight Loftus. But again, he supported the gas tax too, but he did vote against it in the second round. He is currently a state rep. And running to be a senator. There you go. Wow. Such disdain. So you know what? We elect people who think like this. I'm not talking about her, but we do. Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, now Tim Scott. And guess what? The second they get elected, They stop the "I'm the most conservative" thing, and you end up getting smacked around by them. So I don't know. Let's just watch this as an experiment. Let's see if the people of that district elect her on a pro-gun control, anti-AR, pro-tax, pro-taxing junk food to make you eat the right stuff platform. What do you want to bet they do? What do you want to bet they do? Oh, and one who says the center right has got to have it out with the far right. Now she claims she is far right. Now just watch, she'll win. Now she'll win. It's whoever wins the most runs the most ads. It does not matter if what they say is true. Nobody will bother to do the research. Now I've just kind of, I'm almost at a throw your hands in the air point with the folks around here in terms of how they vote. Not all of them, not you, but a lot of folks. Texter writes, why didn't you confront her with those tweets on Monday night? We could not. Because the GOP, we were hosting the debate for the GOP, and they try to stay neutral in the primaries. And so we went along with their wishes. And what we did was throw out general topics like gun control. What do you think on that? What do you think on this? And what we were counting on, what we did was we said, okay, well, we'll leave it up to the candidates to confront each other. And Dwight Loftus just did not do it. He didn't confront her. Neither did the other candidate. So she, you know, we were thinking that they would confront each other and then we wouldn't have to be the bad guys, and they never did. So that's kind of how that went. But the agreement we had with the Greenville County GOP was that we personally would not get involved in slugging it out with the candidates. We would just throw out general topics and they would have like 2 minutes to answer. Texter writes, I'm a hardcore conservative, but the gas tax was a good thing. Do you not understand the impact the gas tax will have on our roads? And do you not also understand that we have the third most state-owned roads with one of the lowest gas tax rates? Boy, you haven't been listening to this show long, have you? Do you not understand that we have a completely corrupt system for distributing gas tax receipts? We went over this for like 2 years. Very easy to understand. In fact, it was so bad at one time, legislators were appointed to a committee that was funneling one out of five gas tax dollars, 20%, to Florence County because the most powerful man in the state Senate lived there. And at one point, they were five-laning a highway that had almost no traffic on it, while other deadly roadways in the state got no funds. So what we said with the tax was that it was no gas tax. We fought it hard, and we defeated it twice. No gas tax until the corrupt system is ended, and the legislators refuse to end the corrupt system for the distribution of the tax, which directs dollars to the districts of the most powerful legislators, not to where the roads need the most work. So to the person who wrote, I am a hardcore conservative, but the gas tax was a good thing. No, you're a fool. It might have done some good if we had what almost every other state has, which is a formula that dictates based on need where gas tax money goes. We don't have it. It goes to the districts of the most powerful legislators based on their ability to wrangle it. Oh, and by the time he was done, Hugh Leatherman was running those highways by properties he owned to increase their value, which should be illegal but isn't in that state. So you, sir, are a fool. That was our problem with it. I even said at one point, listen, I will back off fighting the gas tax if they would just pass a law along with it that would, like Charlotte has, like North Carolina has. They had a corrupt system just like ours, and what they did was pass a formula that dictated through math, and they used number of accidents, age of the road, that kind of thing, to determine where the money went, not politics. And I even said at the time I would back off fighting the gas tax if they were willing to do that, to cut out their own corruption. They weren't willing to do it. It's a honeypot. So when you say I'm a hardcore conservative, but the gas tax was a good thing, no, it was not. You're assuming that the money will not be spent in a corrupt fashion, and 3 decades of road spending tells you otherwise. By the way, we had the former head of the DOT on the show. He's now retired, and he was begging people not to pass the gas tax because he said, listen, it is just going to be wasted, most of it. So that's an answer to your question. No, don't expect the money from the gas tax to make any kind of difference in this state. It is not going to be doled out according to need. It's just simply not. The system is built to do the opposite. Texter writes, fair enough. I was, in fact, assuming that the DOT was not corrupt, but you are right. Oh, they are so corrupt. Shockingly corrupt. In fact, the DOT, you may not know this, the DOT didn't fire. They transferred the auditor out of the DOT because he was highlighting the corruption. They tried to fire him and realized, according to state law, they couldn't fire the auditor for highlighting their corruption, so they had him transferred to another department. That's why I didn't want him to have the gas tax money, but they got it because they're fundamentally corrupt. Happy Friday, wrapping the show up for the week. All right, some wise wisdom. I meant to get to this today. Do you realize? No, you wouldn't, because they don't tell you anything. The media, I mean. Do you realize this is the week that the coup attempt, the illegal coup attempt against Trump, unraveled for all to see who were willing to see it? Did you realize that? Did it happen? What? There's so much Russia, Trump, Russia, Russia collusion, Russia, Trump news out there. It's easy to get jaded. No, it all fell apart this week. Several new crimes by the deep state were exposed. Nobody ever cares, but they were. It was a stunning week as it comes to us. I mean, this literally, folks, is the biggest political scandal in American history. Dwarfs Watergate. And yet, everybody missed the significance of what came out this week. What did come out this week? John Solomon at The Hill got a hold of testimony by Bruce Orr. Bruce Orr was a high-ranking official at the Department of Justice. And under oath, he said that he told the higher-ups at the DOJ, Department of Injustice, and the FBI that the dossier was likely untrue. It was a political document, likely untrue, all of that. The significance of that is that they used that document to apply for a FISA application to spy on Carter Page and everybody two jumps beyond him, which would have included Trump. It was an application to spy on a presidential nominee. Shocking. And that they did that knowing full well that the evidence they presented under a penalty of perjury to the FISA court was in fact untrue. Not verified. So where's the crime there? Oh, there's a lot of crime there. They signed on the line in the application, including James Comey and Rod Rosenstein, under penalty of perjury, that it had been verified. The perjury charge there is a felony that carries up to 5 years in prison. They signed. So we now got Bruce Orr admitting under oath. I told him that stuff wasn't true. They lied to the FISA court to get the ability to spy on the president, committing at least four felonies in the process since they re-upped it four times with those signatures on it. So you got crimes. You got everything you need to end this. And it's like it didn't happen. Which leads us to today's epic rant from former federal prosecutor Joe DiGenova and his wife, attorney Victoria Townsend.
What's fascinating about the Orr testimony is that he now establishes as a fact that the FBI was told before the first application for a FISA warrant that the information was unverified, unreliable, and that Christopher Steele had an animus toward the President of the United States, and that they needed to be careful. And we know that they were not careful. What he has done through his testimony is established that there was a cabal, that the FBI senior officials and senior DOJ officials wanted to get Donald Trump regardless of the evidence, and they wanted to spy on him, and they succeeded in doing so by lying to a FISA court, which has now been established, and committing federal felonies in doing so. I expect Attorney General Barr, when he is confirmed, to impanel a grand jury to investigate all of this.
That'll never happen. No, that's never going to happen. Oh, boy. And so he nails it. And the reason I played that for you is it is astonishing how, with the dual justice system in place, you can commit felonies. And we've got The Hill reporting this. We've got all the conservative media outlets reporting this. Fox News reporting this. Yet they will not take that last step and tell you these were felonies. They committed felonies when they filed that FISA application. We now have proof of it. We got everything we need. I mean, in an honest country, with an honest judicial system, where the people at the top of the system of the criminal justice system were not criminals themselves, in an honest system, they'd be impaneling a grand jury after this came out to pursue indictments. And there's no other course of action. these are crimes. Yet the only person I could find this week anywhere, even in conservative media, who laid it out and said, aside from myself, these are crimes. These are felonies. These are very clear felonies, was though Joe DiGenova in a Fox News interview. Nobody else would say it. They treated it like, well, it wasn't kind of wasn't really ethical. I mean, they kind of should have told the truth. No. They broke the law. And we know. We now know everything about the largest political scandal in all of U.S. history, bigger than Watergate, is out there for anyone who wants to see it. And nobody does. It's remarkable. Have a wonderful weekend.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.